Hey, Emily.
Hey, Stephanie.
Want to do a podcast?
Actually, I think it's time we sync up with someone else.
Welcome to Sync Up Cycle Chat, a space for women to be educated, empowered, and inspired. I'm Dr. Yanina, the founder and CEO of ADHD Empowerment. And today's topic will be all about ADHD, what it means to have ADHD, and what the term even means, and what it entails to have an ADHD diagnosis. I'm a cognitive psychologist and also a certified ADHD coach, and I work pretty much all day long with ADHDers from different backgrounds by helping them with their challenges and also focusing and elevating their strengths. So first, what does the term ADHD even mean? The term ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. I know it's a very, very long word, but it basically means that you might struggle with paying attention and that you might also be hyperactive. In a clinical or more clinical sense, we even split up ADHD into three different subcategories. So the first one is hyperactivity and impulsive type. This is usually the type that gets diagnosed very early on, the time during primary school, and also a lot of males do get diagnosed with the hyperactive and impulsive type. And here, as the word already kind of gives away, it's all about hyperactivity symptoms and impulsive symptoms. Then for the second subtypes, that's the inattentive ADHD type. This usually gets diagnosed later in age because it's not easily noticed, because a lot of times you might be daydreaming and you don't necessarily interrupt anyone or disturb anyone in the class. So it's hard for teachers or parents to even notice that you might have the ADHD inattentive subtype. And this subtype also mostly gets diagnosed in females, but of course also males do get diagnosed with it. It's just mostly in females. And then the last subtype is the ADHD combined type. And that means that you also have ADHD, hyperactive and impulsive symptoms, but also the inattentive symptoms. So it's a very wild mix. And this is also the most common type. And for me personally, I used to have the inattentive ADHD subtype during school age. And then now I have the combined type. So that shows that it can also change throughout age, and especially when transitioning either from childhood into adolescence or from adolescence into adulthood, that can often, very often change. One question that I very often get asked is, how do I even know if I have ADHD and what are the steps after? So I'd say one of the easiest ways you can just double check with yourself is doing some research into the topic of ADHD and understanding what are some of the common signs and symptoms. So they might include paying attention. You have a very difficult time doing that. You have a hard time staying focused. You might be very forgetful, impulsive. Maybe you're interrupting other people while they're talking or make other impulsive decisions. You might show hyperactivity. So some describe if they have to sit down, it feels like their legs are on fire and they just can't sit still anymore. You might also experience difficulty completing different tasks or following through with commitments. That's also a huge one. A lot of ADHDers also unfortunately struggle when it comes to forming relationships and maintaining relationships. So ADHD is not only focused on solely school or your academics, but it can also heavily affect your personal life. It can affect your relationships. It can affect how you communicate, and it can affect your emotions. And of course, your emotions and your communication also highly affect how your relationship kind of goes, and whether that be a romantic relationship or a friendship relationship. So if you have a better understanding of the symptoms and feel like these could be related to you, then you could also do a self-test just online, just to double check, just to, again, get a better overview and understanding. And then from there, you would either, kind of depends on what country you live, but you would go to a neuropsychologist, you would go to a psychiatrist, or you could always go to your GP first, and then they can refer you to a different doctor and tell you what the next steps are. And then during the diagnosis process itself, you will probably be filling out some questionnaires, or your doctor will ask you certain questions. You might also do a test on a computer, kind of a reaction test, an impulsivity test. And then your doctor will also most likely check your health. So if it might be a different disorder, or if you have any other brain issues or developmental issues, or if your heart works well, just double checking kind of everything to make sure that it's not something else that could be easily cured or managed with other types of medication. Unfortunately, also when we talk about ADHD, there are often a lot of misconceptions that are still misread or talked about or just believed. And some of them are that, for example, only children can have ADHD and that everyone outgrows ADHD, so no adult can have it, which is definitely not true, because also, of course, as we know, adults can have ADHD and it doesn't necessarily outgrow, because having ADHD also means having certain structural differences in your brain, and these simply can't just be outgrown. Also, having ADHD doesn't mean that it was caused by poor parenting or that you are lazy, stupid, or have a lack of willpower. And also, one other very, I guess, common misconception that is being spread is that ADHD is overdiagnosed, which is also not true. Yes, of course, now there are way more diagnoses happening, but that's only because people now know more about ADHD versus before. And also, when we now talk about just women with ADHD, it is suspected that about 75% of women are still undiagnosed with ADHD. Now, if you have gotten your ADHD diagnosis, you might wonder also what your next steps are and what are treatment options. Can it be cured? So firstly, unfortunately, it can't be cured. It's something that you will most likely live with for the rest of your life, but there's a wide array of different treatment options out there. So you could get ADHD coaching. That's something that I do, and that worked very, very well for me. You could go therapy, and especially cognitive behavioral therapy, that works really well. And then, of course, there's also medication treatment. Research has shown that just a combination of all these treatments is usually the best approach, but it also really highly varies on you and what works for you. So for me personally, medication, ADHD medication just doesn't work, and it just doesn't work for some people, or some people don't want to take medication, which is totally fine and it's up to you. So then you could try the coaching or the therapy, or also do a combination of these. And then for medication, main medication that is usually prescribed is stimulant medication. So for example, Adderall or Ritalin. And then there's also non-stimulant medication if stimulant medication would not work for you. But for non-stimulant medication, you would need to take it over a longer period of time to actually see the results and see the changes. Whereas for stimulant medication, you would also already notice it after the first day of taking it. And for stimulant medication, how it kind of works is that in an ADHD brain, there are lower levels of dopamine. And dopamine is what helps us to get motivated, it helps us to pay attention, to concentrate, to follow through with tasks. But for ADHDers, the dopamine levels are just lower. And then also the little dopamine that we have get taken up much more easily and then metabolized much more quickly. So we have very little dopamine already, and then it even gets taken away quicker, which is unfortunate, but that's how it is. And stimulant medication, again, there are two different classes, Adderall and then Ritalin. But what they would do is firstly increase. So Adderall would increase your dopamine and then also make sure that it's not metabolized too quickly. And for Ritalin, that would mainly just make sure that the dopamine isn't taken up too quickly. And here again, what type of medication, stimulant medication, you can get and is available also depends on your country. In the US, all medications are available. For example, in Australia, Adderall isn't available whatsoever. And in Europe, Ritalin and that class of medication is usually the first choice. If you do not want to take ADHD medication and want to go to ADHD coaching or cognitive behavioral therapy, what you would learn there is learning the tools. And in therapy, you also go a bit deeper, whereas in, and maybe not learn as many tools, and in ADHD coaching, you would mainly learn tools and how to use them. So let's say you struggle with procrastination and have a very, very hard time starting a task. You would then learn the tools and have a better understanding of why it is so hard to start the task. So very simply said, let's say you could use a change up your to-do list and how you list it, or maybe you can't start the task because it seems way too overwhelming for you. And it's a big task and also maybe a boring task. So you would learn, how do I prioritize? How do I split up this task into smaller bits? And that can already make it so much easier to get started on the task. And then you might also learn, how can I make this very, very boring task that I really do not want to do, how can I make that easier for me and make it just less boring? And I know sometimes that sounds very impossible to do, especially when it's about certain work things or chores at home or in school. Believe me, it's possible. So it might include things like combining it with music or kind of watching a YouTube video in the background while doing your dishes. And with my clients, I always approach it for a interest-based nervous system. So let's say you have a chore to do, let's say the dishes again, then you will look into, how can I firstly make the task new and exciting? How can I make the task interesting? How can I make the task more challenging? Or how can I make the task more urgent? Because oftentimes, it's one of these four aspects that makes it easier for us to start a task. And if you are able to make a task more interesting, more challenging, exciting, or urgent, then it's so much easier to start. So for example, for the dishes, you could try to time yourself. That would be a challenge, and try to do it faster as you did yesterday. You could also do a competition with your housemate or your partner and see who can clean the dishes quicker. You could also use kind of a points and reward system. If you, for example, I love stickers, so you would get like a new sticker if you completed that one chore, or get to go get ice cream after, I don't know, cleaning your room for the week, something like that. And then interesting, that would be combining it with music in the background, a podcast or a YouTube video, a episode of your favorite TV show. Just always thinking about novelty, interest, urgency, and challenge. That can already make things a lot easier. When we talk about ADHD and what it means to have ADHD, oftentimes all the negative things are brought up. And I think that's also important to do, just to get a better understanding of ADHD and what it means to have ADHD. But I think it's also super important that we do talk about certain positives, so we don't see ADHD as such a negative thing. Because even if you do have ADHD and get diagnosed with ADHD, that doesn't mean that your life is over, or you can't be successful, or you can't be happy in life. Yes, of course, ADHD is a disorder, and I think it's very important that we still keep that label, just so other people can understand the magnitude of it, and so we can get accommodations for work, for school, if you wanted to. And also, on average, if someone does not get diagnosed with ADHD and does not receive treatment, their life expectancy is decreased by 12 years. Especially for untreated ADHD, that can lead to risky behaviors like speeding and then getting into accidents. You might do things that you don't really think about, like at home improvements, and you don't have all the equipment or all the everything set up properly. You might turn to drugs to cope with your ADHD symptoms. So I think the word disorder is important, but it's also important to recognize that not everything is bad when it comes to ADHD. And there are also a lot of very successful people out there who have ADHD, like Simone Biles. She has ADHD, and I mean, everyone knows how great she is and how successful she is. And she's just one of so many more. And it's also suspected that all these scientists, like about Einstein or Thomas Edison, that they had ADHD. And if we wouldn't have these people, we would still not have light bulbs, we would not have cars, and so on. So it's great for people that there are people with ADHD and that they're out of the box thinkers. They're a lot of times very creative. Once they put their mind to things, they can really get things done and make changes. They're often very resilient and very empathetic, and can also build great connections with people and help and support people. So if you've gotten an ADHD diagnosis, or you think you have an ADHD diagnosis, please know that not all is bad and there are positives. I personally think getting ADHD treatment is super, super important. But ADHD treatment, again, looks different for everyone. So coaching, therapy, or medication, whatever works best for you and what you feel comfortable doing. And for me, once I found out that I have ADHD and I had a better understanding of what it means to have ADHD and why I was struggling at certain areas and why I was thriving at certain areas, that really helped me to firstly see the bigger picture and also then work with my strength and ask for help for things where I was struggling with. And also, again, my ADHD treatment really helped me with my limitations and just building awareness there and getting help and support that I need. And if you're interested in learning more about ADHD, you can also pop over to my website, which is ADHDempowermentcoaching.com, or to my Instagram, where I post a lot about what does it mean to have ADHD, or the positives, what are my treatment options, and what accommodations can I ask for at school or at work. So a lot of information. So, and my Instagram is ADHD_empowerment_coaching. Also, if any questions came up during this podcast, you can also always reach out to me via my email, which you can find on my website. It's also ADHDempowermentcoaching.gmail.com, or just DM me on Instagram. And I'm always happy to help anyone, support anyone, and answer anyone's questions. Have a great day, evening, wherever you are. And we hope you sync up with us next time.